This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
Richard Allen's attorney, of course, submitting that 136-page filing the other week, talking about how they believe it wasn't Richard at all. It was a group of Odinists that were performing a human sacrifice. On the surface, it sounds pretty out there. I know you've had a chance to dive into this over the last week since all this dropped. What have you found out, Siobhan? And what are your thoughts now that you've had a chance to absorb what Odinism is and what their claims are?
Well, you know, a lot of different ways to look at it. I think overall, we have to realize that Odinism is not structured or organized in any way. There's no specific canon of beliefs, no leaders. They don't have regular, you know, Sunday meetings or any kind of church gatherings or anything like that. It's kind of a movement, particularly in Europe, but also there's a lot of it here in the Pacific Northwest that's just become kind of a hip, young counterculture belief system. Mm-hmm. We have a Viking festival here in Washington. Portland has its own little pagan festival. And these are typically people that you would see as, you know, they're called LARPers, live action role players, people who really like to dress up in costumes and watch a lot of Viking shows on TV. So there's zero incidents of any kind of violence or human sacrifice associated with the paganistic or Odinistic groups. There just hasn't been any precedence for it. And it certainly seems a creative way to throw some doubt mm-hmm. into the situation. The attorneys did their homework. I mean, they really came up with a rather, what would we say, intensely thought out structure for this alternate plot that they came up with. But it also strikes me as a little hard to believe that a group of adult men, we're not talking, you know, impulsive teenagers, but a group of adult men got together in the middle of an afternoon, decided to take a walk along a rural trail together, and then just happened to come upon two teenage girls and decide to have a ritual murder right there, leave the bodies staged in a way that would lead directly back to their cult, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem very credible, but as we've said, when allegations are made, when there's weird evidence, you've got to look at everything.
It certainly you do. And I know that there had been rumblings of these Odinist claims early on, rumors that were floating around, never really went anywhere. I think the main point that I'm understanding from the defense of Richard Allen is, look, you guys didn't look at any of these things and just kind of pass them off as not being valid. And maybe there is a reason for that. Maybe they are not valid. As you said, there is no precedent for Odinism to be out, groups of people sacrificing other humans in the name of such a religion. So why would it suddenly start here? But I also think for Richard Allen, on his point, the grounds that he's been arrested and charged on are also fairly weak. Aside from that confession that he made to his wife, but the claims of it being under duress, I don't know, it's still all very confusing to me.
Yeah, it is an interesting case. Horrible, of course, but interesting. And I'm really curious to see the 43 seconds of video, what all is on that video. Mm-hmm. It does strike me from that little, second and a half that has been released of the man walking on the bridge. It sure could be him. Mm-hmm. You know, there's enough of a similarity that that would fit, but there's got to be a lot more on the rest of that video. And I'm assuming that at some point we'll all be aware of what that is.
There's been speculation that there's more than one voice on that video where it's talking about, what is it, go down here, the line that's said in it. I know some people have been very skeptical. Some people have been following this case for quite some time, making comments that it may even be in reverse order, that somehow the audio was manipulated to sound a certain way. There's a lot that where this could possibly go. It's interesting how this was presented way before a trial, way before it even starts. It's pretty much like their whole defense layout. Any reason why they would have thrown this out so early? Is it simply to start to try and influence a potential jury pool of potential doubt before they even pick their jury?
Yeah, that would be my best guess, rather than go into the trial with the assumption that there's not a good alternate explanation. Let's just throw it out there right now. Mm-hmm. So, and who knows what else they'll come up with. It is a rather unique story. And they, as I say, they put a lot of time and energy into it. So it will be interesting to see what happens.
Maybe is it just the reasonable doubt angle they're going for on this more than anything else, other than not necessarily proving that he didn't do it, but that there's so much possible doubt of other things. And that's what their strategy is. Because once they go down this road, as they have been, and they've thrown this out there, it's kind of hard to walk your way back in any way, shape, or form and say, well, we thought that for a while, but now we think it might be this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reasonable doubt is always the thing that they're looking for. And it's just a weird case all around. So I'm completely fascinated with where this will go.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.